Why does the gelato they sell in Italy's version of an ice cream parlor taste so much better than what you usually find in your local supermarket? We'll find out in just a bit. And author Jeff Biggers recommends the island of Sardinia. It's where artsy seaside towns, rustic hidden beaches, and hillside farm stays bring you an entirely different side of Italy, in a culture that dates back to the Bronze Age. That's all in the hour ahead. Let's start today's travel with Rick Steves with Fred Plotkin. The Italian government awarded Fred a Cavaliere title for promoting Italian culture around the world. Recently, Fred and I updated his book, Italy for the Gourmet Traveler, into a guide we're calling Italy for Food Lovers. Fred joins us from his home in New York to coach us on the great variety of pastas you can enjoy all over Italy.
Buongiorno, Riccardo.
Thank you for joining us. You know, I've known you long enough to know that you are a self-described pleasure activist. How's that? I know that you're not saying you're a hedonist. I mean, there's quite a distinction between a pleasure activist and a hedonist, isn't there?
Yes, the emphasis here is not only on pleasure, but on activism. In other words, activating all your senses so that you fully engage with music, with wine, with food, with a conversation, with scenery, whatever it is. By engaging your senses, you derive more pleasure.
Well, that is pretty fundamental to my approach to travel. You know, what you get out of it is, to a certain degree, what you bring to it. And this is why I'm so excited about our book. And having worked on it with you, I just love the potential for helping people become pleasure activists. Today, we've got time to talk about something special in the book, or special for anybody going to Italy, or special for anybody who likes to eat pasta. Pasta must be perhaps the world's favorite food. Certainly, it's Italy's favorite food, isn't it?
It is my favorite food. In fact, my very first cookbook was only a pasta cookbook.
Yeah, well, every country has noodles, but what's special about Italy's noodles?
Italians know how to use their noodles. Pasta goes back to ancient times and was originally rolled out. It was just a combination of flour and water, and they would cut sheets and ribbons and so on in Rome and elsewhere that produced pastas that would be eaten fresh. Dried pasta came about in the 13th century near Amalfi in Salerno, and when you discovered that you could dry pasta and preserve it, it became a different kind of food. So we have fresh pasta, we have dried pasta. We have noodles, but we also have what's called pasta di pieno, filled pasta. So ravioli are a famous example of filled pasta.
Now, Fred, when you're traveling in Italy, you encounter mostly dry stored pasta, right, that needs to be boiled. Do you encounter pasta fresca?
Absolutely. And most regions have some version of pasta fresca. They're the very famous ones like ravioli and tortellini.
Oh, filled ones, yeah. The ones that are flat and then little pouches and you...
You fold them over.
Right.
So, for example, you make two sheets of pasta. You put filling in, let's say
it's cheese
and pork. You put the top sheet on, you cut it with a wheel, and you create ravioli.
There you go. And for as far as the dry stored pasta, pasta asciutta?
Pasta asciutta, dried pasta, the most famous are spaghetti and macaroni.
Yeah.
But there are hundreds of varieties.
So you got the long ones and you got the short ones.
Right.
And then you got a few little tricks, you know, eni and oni. You can guess, is it short and big or is it long and skinny?
True.
And all of this.
But the thing is that certain are very tiny, like pastina is for babies and it's their first pasta and you have it with broth. But then there are enormous pastas like schiaffoni, which are just an enormous shell or shape. And each pasta's shape goes with a different kind of condiment or dressing or broth.
So that's an interesting point, because I know when you, for instance, when you go to Belgium and you order a beer, it's got to be served in the right glass. And if they don't have the right glass, they're reluctant to serve you that beer. I mean, it's a big deal. Do you think the pasta is really taken seriously, the shape of the pasta for the sauce, and why would that matter?
Absolutely. Let's take orecchiette, the little ear-shaped ancient pasta from Puglia. They are small, but they're shaped like an ear, so they can hold a little bit of minced fish or minced pork or vegetables that are minced. In other words, that it would neatly fit in there. If you were to put a heavy bolognese sauce on that, it wouldn't work. Whereas tagliatelle, which are longer and you can twirl them, hold bolognese meat sauce much better. That's just one example.
We have a joke on our TV show. We shot a lot of TV shows in Italy, and We had a guide once that when we did something that was wrong, that it was like a sacrilege, he would say, "I throw down my arms." I forget the Italian word, but he just, "I can't believe you're going to do that. I throw down my arms." And
non ne posso più, abbasso le armi.
There you go. I don't want anybody to throw down their arms when I'm enjoying their food. But I do think it's important for us travelers to recognize that. For instance, I love to go to Liguria and the Cinque Terre, and that's the home of pesto. And you can have beautiful pesto on any number of things, but when it comes to pasta, there's one pasta that's kind of designed for it. What is it called? Trofi?
Trofie, T-R-O-F-I-E, but also linguine could work, but uh-huh. Trofie.
Now, why would trofie be good? Why would that matter as opposed to just, you know, some spaghetti?
Trofie were born when the women who made fresh pasta would rub their hands together, and what was left on their hands were these little curls that would just fall to the ground. You don't waste anything in Italy. And therefore, they would pick up these curls, and they found that they perfectly matched the pesto.
Nice. Well, I can close my eyes and see a beautiful bowl of pasta, and it is always trofia with that beautiful glistening pesto, and it's just so right. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Fred Plotkin, and Fred is my partner in our newest book called Italy for Food Lovers. The book is just out. Fred also hosts a live arts and culture interview show on the Idagio platform. It's Fred Plotkin on Fridays, and it's Fridays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Fred, I'd love to take a little tour around Italy now through the lens of a pasta lover. I know every region has its own pride, and people, as a matter of waving the flag of their region, will drink the wine of that region, and I would imagine they slurp the pasta of that region. Can you give me a couple of regions that have a pasta that we should be aware of?
Well, almost all of them. And we were talking about Liguria, and yes, pesto is fantastic, but I want to point people to panzotti, which mean little pot-bellied pasta. They're filled pasta, but they're filled with herbs and greens. Mm. This is completely vegetarian. And the sauce that goes on it is a walnut sauce. And this is completely unexpected and really just found in Liguria.
And by the way, I would interject here that too many Americans order because they know the word, you know.
Yes.
You might know a certain word you've always seen, bolognese or something like that. And that's what you'll kind of, your eye will go to that. But don't skim over the items on the menu, like panzotti, that you might have never seen before.
True. One of my very favorites, and you don't see it that often, but when I see it in Romagna, I get it. It's called passatelli. I swoon from passatelli. And they're made with breadcrumbs, eggs, Parmigiano cheese, lemon, and nutmeg, and they're cooked in a broth. And they look like noodles, but not quite. The flavor of the cheese and the lemon and the nutmeg in that broth is just, it's very sexy, let's put it at that. Then in Lombardy in the north, there's pizzoccheri in the Alps. These are buckwheat pasta that are served with garlic, potato, sage, and a local cheese called Bitto cheese, B-I-T-T-O. It's only found in the Alps of Lombardy. In Sardinia, there's something called maloredus, which are baby bulls. They look like gnocchi, but not quite. And they go with a lamb sauce or a pork sauce. Fantastic as well.
Wow.
In Calabria, there's a very ornate dish called sagnacchine, which is only done at festive times. It's sort of a super grand lasagna containing sausage and tiny meatballs and artichokes and hard-boiled eggs and cream and tomato and cheese. You don't eat this every day, and when you eat it in small amounts.
Hey, Fred, one place that really, really pleasantly surprised me was Sicily. The cuisine in Sicily is so delicious, it's so enthusiastic, and it's also sort of representing the influences that Sicily's had from places far away because it's such a crossroads. What does that mean for the pasta situation on the island, the football off of the boot?
Well, there are pastas that are traditional, like spaghetti that you would have with a sardine and fennel sauce, but they have couscous, which you would find more in North Africa because Sicily was under Arab influence for decades, and it's called couscousou. And you have it throughout the island, but especially the western tip around Trapani. They make couscous with fish as a pasta course. And it's sublime and incredibly health-giving as well.
Boy, if you can travel armed with these words, I mean, I want to go back to Sicily now and look for
couscousou.
Well, let me give you the word of all words. I love it. And it's real. Schlutzkrapfen. S-C-H-L-U-T-Z-K-R-A-P-F-E-N. This
now,
is
I know
pasta.
Where that must be from because that's way up in the north, the Alto Adige.
The Alto Adige.
In fact, the people who say Schlutzkopfen correctly would call the Alto Adige the Sud-Tirol.
Sud-Tirol. But, you know, Schlutzkopfen are alpine ravioli, and they contain sauerkraut, potato, and herbs, and they're served in a sauce of alpine butter. They're a heaven.
Say it again. Really, really... Say it again in your most romantic German accent.
Schlutzkrapfen, bitte.
Kann ich Schlutzkrapfen haben, bitte?
Ich möchte jetzt Schlutzkrapfen, jetzt.
Fred Plotkin is our guide to the nearly endless variety of pasta that you'll find in Italy right now on Travel with Rick Steves. There's more on our website at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, Fred, it's so fun talking to you about something so basic that we can learn so much about pasta. The big question for so many of us, how do you twirl your pasta like an Italian?
This is important, and I've taught this for decades. You take your fork in your usable hand, and you push the pasta to the far side of the plate, not in front of you, because then it gets on your beautiful Italian shirt or dress. So you push it to the far side, you twirl, you lift the fork so that any noodles that don't belong there will fall off, and then you move the fork directly to the mouth, close the mouth, and chew and savor.
Fred Plotkin, you are a natural teacher and enthusiast for all you love about Italian culture, and a big part of that is the food. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise, and thanks for partnering with me in our new book. It's called Italy for Food Lovers. Buon appetito, Fred.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Rick.
You can find out more about my collaboration with Fred on the book Italy for Food Lovers. There's a link from this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Fred's also well known as an authority on opera. He tells us how he used to prepare a nourishing pasta dish for Luciano Pavarotti after he'd perform in New York. It's in a web extra to today's show that you can hear on our website. Next, get acquainted with a rustic island that even comes with an ancient pyramid. Jeff Biggers takes us to Sardinia on Travel with Rick Steves. Thank you.